Welcome to KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's December 5th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Coming up on today's program, CU Boulder held a climate summit on campus over the weekend. We'll hear from youth climate activists. Sometimes even small incentives can help to form eco-friendly habits. We'll tell you about one called Lug Your Mug. And CityCast Denver looks at the next election on the horizon and asks, is that a mayoral race or a clown car? At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear the BBC News headlines and then the Hightower Lowdown. After that, it's a public affair. Frank Dubofsky talks with John Lopez, the new CEO of Intercambio, a cross-cultural language learning nonprofit based in Boulder. Then at 9 a.m., we'll bring you Counterspin, a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. After that, Doug Gertner will be in the Denver studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead this morning, but first, these headlines with KGNU's Stacey Johnson.
The University of Colorado announced over the weekend that Pro Football Hall of Famer Deion Sanders will be CU's next head football coach. Sanders comes to CU following a three-year successful and transformational run at Jackson State in Mississippi. Sanders also on Saturday led the Jackson State Tigers to a second consecutive Southwestern Athletic Conference, or SWAC, championship win over Southern. Fans of the Buff football program expect Sanders, who has a nickname of Primetime from his NFL career, will have an excellent recruiting potential and turnaround for the beleaguered CU football program that has a 5-21 win-loss record for the program's last 26 games. According to a tweet by Brian Howell of the Daily Camera, Sanders has agreed to a 5-year, $29.5 million deal with CU, with an average annual salary of $5.9 million, and the potential for raises. The Mississippi Clarion Ledger reports Sanders may owe around $300,000 to Jackson State to buy out the remainder of his contract. The Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments in the case of Colorado web designer challenging Colorado's anti-discrimination laws. KGNU's Jack Armstrong has more.
The United States Supreme Court will hear arguments today in the case of 303 Creative versus Elinus. The plaintiff is Glory Smith, a Littleton-based graphic artist who argues Colorado's anti-discrimination law prevents her ability to publicly refuse website design services to same-sex couples. Back in February, the United States Supreme Court decided to take up Smith's case, but only on the question of free speech, and not on the question of free exercise of religion. Even though the Supreme Court is limiting the case's focus on the matter of free speech, some legal experts warn the court's opinion could gut anti-discrimination laws. The case is the second time in 5 years the Supreme Court has heard a case involving a Colorado business owner not wanting to provide services to same-sex couples. For KGNU, I'm Jack Armstrong.
Denver is winding down its Emergency Rental Assistance, or ERAP, program this week. The city's Department of Housing Stability announced Friday the agency will stop taking new first-time applications for the city's federally funded Emergency Rental Assistance program by midnight on December 9th. The program, which has provided rental relief for close to 14,000 Denver families during the pandemic, is running out of federal pandemic relief funds. City officials have also cut the number of months the city will provide rental relief under the program. According to city officials, new applications spiked after the city initially announced the program's closure. The Board of Governors to the Colorado State University System has named longtime former administrator Amy Parsons as the sole finalist to become the university's next president. Parsons' history with Colorado State includes 16 years working in various roles, including ones in the general counsel's office, operations, and the most recent as vice chancellor of the CSU system. The CSU system includes the main campus in Fort Collins, the Pueblo campus, the new Denver Spur campus, and the online CSU Global School. Parsons, who is also a Colorado State alum, left CSU in September 2020 for a CEO position with an e-commerce company. As required by Colorado law, Colorado State cannot formally hire Parsons until a 14-day waiting period has lapsed after Friday's announcement. Parsons will replace Joyce McConnell, who parted ways with CSU in early June and whose contract prevented her or the school from saying negative things about the other. The Frozen Dead Guy Days Festival isn't dead. KGNU's Claire Purnell has more.
Organizers of the Frozen Dead Guys Days are moving the Mountain Festival from its longtime home in Nederland to Estes Park. The festival's name refers to a dead Norwegian man whose corpse was cryogenically frozen and kept in Nederland, Colorado. After a two-year hiatus following the COVID pandemic, Frozen Dead Guys Day took place in its usual Nederland location in March of 2022. The relationship between the event and Nederland grew cold after the event this year. Festival organizers announced last month that the event would not take place in 2023. The announcement led to the owners of the historic Stanley Hotel and Visit Estes Park to join forces and hold the event in March of 2023. For KGNU, I'm Claire Purnell.
Aurora Public Schools, through its school board president, Debbie Gerked, announced on Friday that Superintendent Rico Munn will resign at the end of the school year. Gerked also announced that Munn will also begin transitioning to a support role starting in January, with the school board hiring an acting superintendent in the days ahead to fill Munn's remaining duties for the rest of the year. The school board plans on voting on Munn's exit agreement during tomorrow's meeting. Friday's announcement did not explain Munn's reasons for stepping away from his post. According to Chalkbeat Colorado, the Aurora School Board and Munn began having conversations about Munn's evaluation and contract in the fall, with his contract set to expire by the end of the current school year. Chalkbeat Colorado says Munn has led the state's fifth largest school district 9+ years with significant improvements, as well as becoming the 2019 Colorado Superintendent of the Year, but also faced criticism from the school board over his dispute with the teachers' union and decisions on school closures. For today's weather, the National Weather Service says there will be mostly sunny skies with highs in the low to mid-50s. Winds could gust as high as 22 miles per hour. Tonight, skies will be mostly cloudy with Boulder and Fort Collins having a 40 to 50% chance of precipitation occurring before 10 p.m. Tonight's lows will be around 22 degrees for Fort Collins and the upper 20s for Denver and Boulder. The current temperature in Boulder is 54 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Hundreds of experts, academics, and advocates gathered this weekend for CU Boulder's Right Here, Right Now Climate Summit. Student reporter Henry Larson spoke with youth on campus, including some calling on CU to follow in the footsteps of other universities that have divested from fossil fuels.
On a particularly windy November Friday, dozens of University of Colorado Boulder students and faculty marched across campus to demand one thing, that the university divest from its investments in fossil fuels.
What do we want?
Investment!
What do we want?
Now!
The group leading the march, Fossil Fuel CU, is a coalition of students at the university passionate about climate justice. They timed this march to take place during the Right Here, Right Now Summit, a large climate-focused event co-hosted by CU Boulder and the United Nations. Sophomore Fiona Nugent joined the movement in August and helped organize Friday's protest.
And we think that the CU administration really needs to make the switch from investing in fossil fuels, coal, oil, and gas, to investing in green energy.
Demonstrators gathered in bright orange shirts and hats that read the word divest on the top, and gathered outside the University Memorial Center at noon on December 2nd.
There was this petition being written that was going to go to the CU administration saying, hey, could you divest, is the word from fossil fuels, divest is written on everyone's beanies, as you can see. And I got involved because I knew that's something I wanted to be a part of.
For its part, the university has promoted its track record with sustainability and its promise to be carbon neutral by 2050. However, getting CU to divest from fossil fuels might prove more troublesome for protesters going forward. In a written statement published before the event, Chancellor Philip DeStefano and Chief Sustainability Officer Heidi Van Genderen said the issue of divestment of the University of Colorado's financial assets is the responsibility of the university system leadership and the Board of Regents.
We're here because CU is investing in fossil fuels, despite promoting itself as this very green, environmentally focused university. And not only does that go against our values and that, like, really threatens the future of its students, but it's also really like a not good decision, a terrible decision rather, economically. Like solar energy, wind energy, green energy is going to expand exponentially in the next few years, and we think that the CU administration really needs to make the switch.
According to reporting by Colorado Public Radio, the university system has $270 million worth of stock or other investments in fossil fuel companies, which makes up about 5% of its total investments. Among the protesters on Friday were a variety of people in food-themed costumes, including Beth Osnes, a professor of environmental studies and theater at CU Boulder, dressed as a carrot.
I am a carrot, and the reason I'm a carrot is because some of the top climate solutions involve food, which is reducing food waste and also a plant-based diet. So reminding people that there are like these beautiful, kind of delicious solutions at our disposal, and that we can also be divesting to really reduce our consumption of fossil fuels. I'm super excited. I was attending a lot of the meetings by the students, the Fossil Fuel CU, Fossil Free CU, and really here to support in using costumed and theatrical methods to bring attention to divestment.
People like Osnes hope that Friday's march would be a sign to university officials that divesting from fossil fuels is a concrete step they can take to address climate change.
I hope we create the plan to begin divesting. I think we're set up where we have regents who will be supporting it. So I think it's an opportune time for us to really mobilize and make the requests and the challenge, to be integral. We're part of this UN conference right now on human rights and climate change, so to really step into our full integrity.
There are some signs of progress, and Fossil Free CU just might be making inroads to create the change they'd like to see. Ken McConnellogue, the CU system's acting vice president for communication, said Regent Leslie Smith met with members of Fossil Free CU to describe ways they can advance their cause to the board. Most importantly, Shaw said, the purpose of Friday's march was to get the word out to campus community members, ensuring they can gain the support she says they need if they want to be successful.
We've been working really hard for the past 5 months or so to get our voice out, help people know who we are, but this, the orange colors, the sights, the sounds, that is hopefully going to really get our message out. And the next step after everyone on campus knows who we are is making sure the administration knows who we are and knows that we want them to do something about this.
For KGNU, I'm Henry Larson.
Sometimes even small incentives, like free coffee, can help to form green habits. It's estimated that in the U.S., more than 50 billion paper coffee cups with lids are thrown away every year. On the CU Boulder campus, one student group is trying to make an impact on this by encouraging students to bring their own mug. CU student Haley Turnquist brings us this story.
Coffee. It's a hot commodity in today's increasingly fast-paced world, especially among college students who are rushing to complete assignments, take midterms, and keep up with their many social circles. But coffee's worldwide importance also has a worldwide impact on the health of our planet. An estimated 2.5 billion single-use coffee cups are thrown away globally each year. That's 5,000 coffee cups every minute. In order to help mitigate this problem, the University of Colorado Boulder's Environmental Center has come up with a solution to remind people how a simple change in their morning routine can be a step forward towards sustainability.
So Lug Your Mug is a fun event where we give out free coffee to people who bring a reusable mug to campus. So we don't have any cups here. We're only giving it to people who bring their own like sustainable materials to campus. So really, it's just about rewarding those who are taking that extra step to reduce their waste a little bit.
Kayla Vassarelli is a senior at CU and a member of the CU Zero Waste Outreach Team.
Our responsibility is talking to faculty and students and sometimes like the broader Boulder community about sustainability in Boulder and on the CU campus.
For Lug Your Mug, Kayla brings her enthusiastic attitude to the tent to encourage students to walk up, take advantage of the free coffee, and to talk about sustainability on campus.
Free coffee if you have a reusable mug. Free coffee if you have a reusable mug. I love getting to talk to students, and people are always super excited when they hear what it's about. No one's ever heard about the fact that they're not getting coffee if they don't have a cup. Everyone's always like, oh, great, thank you so much for doing this. Thanks for bringing your mug to campus.
Yeah, it was like the highlight of my week.
Yeah. Wednesday mornings, me too.
Right.
It's just like great to see people caring about what we're doing, and it makes me hopeful for the future of this CU campus and for the world at large.
CU Zero Waste's big goal is to remind people to bring their own mug, not just to the Lug Your Mug tent, but to other places where coffee is served, to incorporate reusability consistently in their day-to-day life.
We're like one place that you can get coffee on Wednesday mornings in October, but if you go around campus, there's lots of different places that give out free coffee. Like almost every day I'm seeing events where you can like bring your own mug and like get something, and like instead of taking a paper mug, and you can even go to the coffee shops on campus and hand it to them and get coffee in that instead of like a plastic cup.
And sometimes Kayla and her fellow members do have to turn people away, but that is just all part of the learning process.
Hi. Free coffee if you have a mug on you.
Oh, I'll come back with a mug.
Yeah, we'll be here till like 11:30.
Awesome.
Every day, there's probably 50 people that come up to the tent and are like, can I get free coffee? And I go, do you have a reusable mug? And they're like, oh, no, and they walk away. So really, I just advocate for people to always bring their mug to campus or bring a reusable water bottle. Sometimes you can, I see people dump water out and fill that up. Just like, always have something sustainable with you on campus, like a reusable. Bring a Tupperware. You never know when you're going to find free food. Just, it's a good practice to have.
At the end of the day, Kayla and the rest of the CU Zero Waste team always remember that sustainability as a whole is just as much about having a good time as it is about helping the planet.
At the Environmental Center, we try to make our events fun and not, we're not trying to be like very jarring about these things because we want it to be like an approachable topic to be like bringing sustainable things to campus. So we just try to put a fun spin on all of our events. So Lug Your Mug is one of them. And then in the spring, we have an event called Zero Waste in Your Face, where we have people like look in the mirror and make a pledge to themselves about being zero waste. And it's just like putting a fun spin on it.
Why should students come to Lug Your Mug?
Students should come to Lug Your Mug because, one, you get free coffee. Two, you get to talk to a really cool group of people that are super passionate about a topic. And then three, you can learn something new, or you can give us your opinions about what you want to see from the e-center, what you want to see from the campus, because we are a voice for the people on campus. So if you're saying something, we go to our meetings and we're like, hey, I heard a student mention this to us. Like, maybe this is something that we should consider doing.
For free coffee and to talk about sustainability in a positive environment, stop by the Lug Your Mug tent every Wednesday from 9 to noon outside the Atlas building. Just remember to bring your reusable mug.
Thanks to CU student Haley Turnquist for that story. With no fewer than 20 declared candidates, the race to be Denver's next mayor seems to be getting more crowded by the day. And more of those candidates might have a fighting chance this year, thanks to the new Fair Elections Fund, which matches certain campaign contributions with public money. But there's only so much money available, and some of the requirements could make this election in particular a bit unwieldy. CityCast Denver producer Paul Caroli talks with Westword editor Patty Calhoun about what she's seen in 45 years of covering mayoral elections, and if this fund is indeed a game changer, as some have called it.
In all of your 45 years covering mayoral elections for Westword, have you ever seen a bigger field?
I have never seen anything this huge. Back in 2011, so when Hancock was first elected, it was a big field. I mean, it got up to probably 15. And you know, there always are some serious candidates. Mm-hmm. And then there's some also-ran. Some of them are back from 2011. Mm-hmm. But it was wieldy. And I moderated a couple debates then. And it was interesting, the big range of people. But nothing like this. This is really huge.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about like seeing the more established, the more maybe, I don't know, the more well-known candidates interacting with the fringe, the also-ran types, that's interesting. But yeah, 20, like, I don't even know what you do as a candidate. I don't know how you distinguish yourself.
Right. And how do you raise money? And how do you strategize getting in the runoff? So there's so many interesting aspects of this huge field, because no one is going to win more than 50% of the vote, which is what it'll take on April 4th to become mayor. Mm-hmm. Instead, the two top vote getters will go to the runoff in June. And what percentage will you need with 20 candidates? Could you get in the runoff with 17% of the vote? it's really fascinating as people start playing the numbers. So people who've got a really strong base, maybe not a huge base, but a strong base could make that runoff.
Hmm.
But they might not appeal to that many people in the finals.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, you invoked the whole election funding issue, and that's what we're going to talk about today, because that's the big news right now, is this Fair Elections Fund. And it seems to me, at least, that that's part of the reason why there are so many people in the field this year. Can you explain what the Fair Elections Fund is?
So the Fair Elections Fund was a proposal Denver voters agreed to in 2018, and it was originally originally came out of the late state legislator Ken Gordon, who was all about fairness in elections, and Owen Perkins took over Clean Slate, which pushed this and worked with the city and with other people to put out this proposal, which is basically for public financing of campaigns. So, and there's some other limits to how many campaign donations you can take and the size. So basically, if you pass certain qualifications, you will be matched 9-1 for your donations. So that's a lot of money for some of these candidates. You have to have a certain number of donations made by a certain number of individuals, but it's a fairly low threshold.
Hmm.
And it's different from the mayoral candidates and the other municipal candidates. But there's an $8 million cap on this election for the Fair Elections Fund. So if you see that mayoral candidates could get up to $750,000 each, really by hitting a fairly low hurdle in this campaign, any serious candidate should be able to hit it.
$750,000.
Mm-hmm. Say 10 of them, say half of the current field manages to do it. We've basically wiped out this fund that also is supposed to pay for other candidates, city council candidates, auditor candidates, clerk and recorder candidates. They're eligible for this too.
Huh. Yeah, that does seem like it could be a really big issue. So one other aspect of this that's pretty interesting is that for the candidates who are participating in the Fair Elections Fund, they are required to participate in two debates. Why does that matter?
Well, it matters because it's going to be impossible. And this is one of the things only media outlets will probably appreciate until you suddenly discover what the problem is. So the Election Commission, when they were talking about this, you know, they went out to talk about the first election. They met with some reporters at the press club. And they said, you know, you're going to have to put on debates. Well, it is not necessarily our calling to put on debates, but I think most media outlets like to do it. But a debate with 20 people is not possible. That's a cocktail party or it's a rumble, but it is not a debate where people actually get to speak. And debate is what is called for in this measure. It doesn't say forum. It doesn't say gathering. It doesn't say online Zoom. So what we're going to have to find out is can there be variations on that theme that would be acceptable, because most media outlets usually will cut it to, say, four candidates in a debate. Mm. Most of those big TV network debates we saw this fall, you didn't see a huge number of people up there. And that wasn't because there weren't 20 people running for governor. It's you want to limit it. You didn't see the very minor characters up there. You just saw the two major ones. And that's usually what people have wanted to do.
Mm.
And often debates, who made it was decided by how big their contributions were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how the network TV stations often did it. It showed how serious they were. That's removed. So how do you decide which of the 20 or maybe 10 would qualify under the Fair Elections Fund? How do you decide who you're inviting?
Hmm. All right. So we've really only just started the election season. I mean, we're going to be talking about this for months. The election is on April 4th. Ballots are going to go out in mid-March. So we have plenty of time to figure this out. And I don't know. Personally, I haven't really dug into any specific policies or platforms of any of the candidates, but I have noticed a trend in the rhetoric I wanted to ask you about. And it's interesting. It's a contrast with what Jared Polis just won another term as governor with, which was this, like, Colorado's a good place to live. You know, people are happy here. That really seemed to resonate. All of the candidates for mayor are saying the city is broken.
Not
Why?
All of them. And that's what's interesting. There are polls that are being done now. I just heard about a poll last night that showed that a lot of the younger people who are moving here,
mm-hmm.
who may not have even voted in a Denver election yet, are saying they like Denver.
Mm-hmm.
They moved here because they like Denver.
Yeah.
So maybe they like the direction it's going in. And that hasn't really hit the radar yet. The candidates that we're hearing from are the ones who've been in the city for a long time. And to position themselves, they have to say they don't like what's going on here. Probably because a lot of us don't like what's going on here and the developments we've seen that
classic Denver tension.
Right. That seem to have been not done well because developers have been paying into campaigns and buying off public officials, at least by supporting them. So I'm going to be looking into that poll more, because if that's true, we could have some really interesting tension, and it could create a whole new path for one candidate to love Denver and get 17% of the vote by saying everything is perfect.
Yeah.
The question is, with 20 people, will you be able to get through all the clutter to actually see the great visions?
Yeah, seriously. Patty Calhoun, thanks for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure.
You just heard an excerpt from CityCast Denver, the local Denver daily news podcast. Learn more about subscribing to the podcast at denver.citycast.fm or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. Jack, you got a birthday shout out?
Yes, I do, Shannon. Shout out to Matthew from the MSU Food Pantry. Have a great day tomorrow. Happy birthday.
All right. Well, coming up next are the BBC News headlines and then a public affair.